Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Marks and Reese is back. Rob Ellis in for Ike today. John Marks with you. And the story that came out this morning, Ben texted it to me early. And looked at it and said, well, this is what we're talking about today.
Game changer.
Rob Ellis. His name's Joe Santoliquido. He's a contributor for PhillyVoice.com. You've seen him all over the place. What's going on, Joe?
What's going on? You name it.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. All right, I'm going on a couple things you said here. You said that Wentz has been described as incredibly hardworking, determined, mm-hmm. highly intelligent, but also selfish, uncompromising, egotistical, etc. So I just want to ask you right from the top, when did the story come about? Like, what is the timeline? When did you start reporting on this? And obviously it wrapped up recently, but when did this all start?
Months ago with a very innocuous question in reference to Al Groh. And I was corrected, and I was told basically it's not Groh, Joe, it's Wentz.
So Mike Groh, you had said his father, Al, so we're talking about Mike Groh, the offensive coordinator.
Mike Groh, yes.
Gaia.
The Virginia on the brain. That it was Mike Groh, and that really stunned me. It really opened my eyes up. So this was a case of a little bit here, and a little bit there, and a little bit here, and a little bit there, and just collecting some different other things, some tidbits. A lot of what I did was not at the NovaCare Complex. A lot of things were done outside the NovaCare Complex. And then what I simply did was go back and confirm. This is what I'm hearing. This is what I'm hearing. This is what I'm hearing from others. What do you think? And now I'm going to get questioned on the timing of this. I know I spoke to someone earlier today. You know, you had access to Wentz on Monday. Why didn't you bring this up with him? Well, one of the reasons why I didn't bring it up with him was I didn't want to let anybody else know what I knew, or at least what I was told. That's one. Two, I wasn't really on great, great ground until I got substantiation on Monday night after Wentz spoke on Monday afternoon. And that's what really kind of threw this thing over the top. And then to further substantiate it, something else came up with a very, very strong source on Wednesday to further substantiate all the stuff that I had been told.
So, Joe, let me ask you, and this is more of a sort of journalistic question, and you may have partially just answered it in answering John's question, but how do you sift through what could be an aggrieved party who feels like they're maybe not getting enough touches, who may say something like this about any quarterback in that circumstance if they're not, versus this is a much wider issue here for this team? And how deep do you think this is for this organization, this issue?
Well, first off, if you read the whole story, and you guys have done a great job with this, John and Rob, you guys have done a fantastic job with this, and you guys make really, really salient points. I think the big thing with this is that if you read the whole story, and you just have people reading the freaking headline, which is really kind of pissing me off, but if you read the whole story, it's balanced. They stress the negative. Well, the fact is that everyone that I spoke to, everyone, wants to see this guy succeed. They want to see this guy do well. I think, John, you made a great point earlier, about 15, 20 minutes ago, in terms of his age. I mentioned the fact that he is 26. I mentioned the fact that he still has some growing up to do. And guys realize that, and they recognize that. I mentioned the fact, and the fact is that everybody wants him to succeed so well, as guys put it to me, that it hurts. No one's out to get Carson Wentz here. I'm not out to get Carson Wentz here. But does Carson Wentz have some things that he needs to address? Yeah. And do the Eagles have things that they need to address? Yes. And also, I'm going to one step further. If you look at the transcripts of this past season, when Doug Peterson addressed the media, there were times we addressed the fact that Wentz went and didn't trust the offense. When Wentz trusted the offense, you see the production they have. You see what happens. And he said that during the course of the season.
Yep, he did. Joe, you've had some negative tweets and stories towards Carson Wentz in the past. Some people are suggesting that you came into this with an agenda against Carson, and you're just playing this out. You were looking for what you're looking for something, and you found it, and you wrote it. How do you respond to that?
Well, one, I have no agenda against anyone. I mean, Rob knows me very well, and I think, Rob, you could verify that. I have no agenda against anyone. That's number one. Number two, if anyone knows my body of work, I'm the guy that writes the good guy stuff. I'm the guy that writes about Darren Sproles overcoming his stuttering issue. Seems to be forgotten here. I'm the guy that spent time 3 days with Brandon Brooks talking about him overcoming anxiety. That seems to be forgotten here. I'm the guy that wrote for 5 years with Malcolm Jenkins, one-on-one each week. You know, all the good things Malcolm does on and off the field. That seems to be forgotten here. I'm the one that was around when Carson was first here and all the positive things Carson has done. That seems to be forgotten here. You know, interesting when the positives come out, and even in the story alone, look at the positives. They're not accentuated. People look at the negatives. So, I have no agenda. And the guys that I spoke to, I'm going to validate that, too. There's no agenda there either. Because like I said, and I'm going to repeat it, they want to see this guy succeed so badly that it hurts. You're dealing with a combination of things. You're dealing with someone that pressed. We all saw that, and we know that. You see someone that didn't come into the season 100% healthy. He even kind of admitted as much on Monday, if I remember a portion of that meeting with Wentz, in reference to, did the knee lead to the back? And he didn't rule that possibility out. Could he have come back 100% healthy? Yeah. A healthy Wentz means a healthy offense, means a healthy Philadelphia Eagles team. And I think that that bothered some people. As a matter of fact, I don't think it. I know it. You know, he needed to turn around and take the time to make sure he was right before the offense was right and before the team was right.
Let me ask you, we're speaking with Joe Santoliquido. Philly Voice has got the bombshell story today regarding Carson Wentz and some of the reaction from his teammates regarding the way things went down this year. Joe, you say at the podium on Monday you didn't want to tip your hand that you had this. Have you reached out to Carson and tried to get his side of this on the side, you know, separate from the podium?
No. And here's the other deal. They don't give you access to Carson Wentz. Here's something that's very interesting. I believe Carson Wentz is entering his fourth season as a Philadelphia Eagle. I don't believe he sat down and done a one-on-one with anybody from the Philadelphia media. And certainly in the future, it's not going to be me. But but he has not done a one-on-one with anyone from the Philadelphia media. And I also find it interesting. He's a very guarded guy on and off the field. And that kind of translates a little bit into the locker room, where you see someone that's incredibly transparent and false. Amazingly transparent, false. And you see the other guy who's, you know, again, we're
a different guy. He's a different guy.
Yeah, let's go back to the story. Different guy. Okay, but let's go back to the story. Universally loved and false. Wentz isn't. But that's not also to say, nor did I say, Wentz is universally disliked. Are there factions in there? Yes. And I spoke to two people this morning that have a lot of knowledge that said, yes, there was a Wentz faction. And there was a false faction, and that there were guys that were pissed off this season as to what went down and how it went down.
Would you say Joe, go ahead, sorry.
And the eye test will tell you again, and it's repeated a number of times in that story, and it's touched upon by what Jacina Anderson did during the course of the year.
Right.
A lot of this is not a revelation. It's not. You know, it took me more guts to write it than not to write it. And right. The other thing, too, is I was playing around with the thought, how about this? How about this coming out as Foles the quarterback of this team and they're making a playoff run? Think about the bombshell that would have been, and think about the possibility of this tearing that team apart if it came out then. And that was also a big reason why, let's see where this all goes, right? And then, like I said, I was not completely 100% going to put my seal and approval on things. Nor, and again, I work with a great team at Philly Voice with Matt Mullen, God bless him, because I drove Matt. He should be canonized after, you know, something would happen, I'd call Matt. Evan Macy, Jimmy Kemsky, who I think is the best guy on the beat.
Right.
You know, going through them, you know, wash and rinse, wash and rinse.
We got
wash
you. Rinse, we got you. Joe, you mentioned there's a faction. Would you say that the faction is anti-Wentz or just pro-Foles? I mean, I guess what fans are asking that believe that there is an issue is what happens next year? Is this easily repairable?
Yes, it is. And again, it's in the story. It's there at the bottom of the story. They want Wentz to succeed so badly that it hurts. These things are all fixable. It's in the story. It's there at the bottom. That people want Carson Wentz to return back to who Carson Wentz is, and people felt that he deviated not only on the field, but a little bit off the
field.
Joe,
then let me follow off of that. Why did he what was different from, say, his rookie year or the second year with the great success before the injury? Why did things deviate? Why did things get off track? Was it the fact that you had Frank Reich and John DeFilippo leave, or did Carson get a big head, or was he pressing because of the injury? Why do you think things deviated?
I think it's the combination of, great point, Rob, I think it's a combination of Reich and DeFilippo because they played, Wentz listened to them. Didn't always listen to them, was reluctant, but Wentz listened to them. And that's pretty much across the board what every source told me, that Wentz listened to those two. And when he did, what do we see? We saw, 33 touchdown passes his second year?
Yep.
And NFL-like season. And then suddenly, what happens? Foles comes in after Wentz gets hurt. You have the offense running, I think, possibly even better. They drop, 38 on the Vikings. They drop 41 in the Super Bowl and outduel Tom Brady in the most important game in franchise history. So what happens when, Wentz takes over this offense and runs it the way it's supposed to be run? Just imagine how much more efficient it would have been this season in the 11 games Carson Wentz played.
I'm talking to Joe Santaliquito. Joe, you mentioned in the piece about offense coordinator Mike Grove being bullied. You said that this is kind of how this story started. You were asking people about Mike Grove and if he was more or less responsible for the lack of success with the offense. What happened? What was the dynamic with Mike Grove and Carson Wentz?
Well, apparently with Carson, there were some things he was able to get away with that apparently he wasn't able to get away with Reich and DeFilippo. And again, what do we see? We saw the results on the field. Guys to a point, and it's not just guys, when this came about, just some other people in and around the NFL that I know, just asking them questions in general about, what are you hearing? What do you see here in front of you? And they all say to a man, Mike Rose, of course, is a pretty good football coach. He knows what he's doing. And he was going to walk into the situation very seamlessly, but again, had a deal with Carson Wentz was apparently the X factor. And the proof is what they say in the pudding. When this offense is run the way it's supposed to be run, when Carson Wentz ran it the way he's capable of running it, and trusting it. That's a big deal here. That's a big word here. Not only trusting the offense, but trusting the guys he had around him. And that was not always the case. And again, the eye test, let me ask you both, what did you guys see this past season? Did you see him work this offense the way he worked it last year?
I saw him press and struggle.
Yeah, I saw a guy who may not have been fully healthy, but start to really press because all his objective was to get back on the field, and things weren't going well, and then one thing leads to another.
Exactly. And again, the one guy he trusted, 86. And this is not to begrudge Zach Ertz of anything. Zach Ertz, if Zach Ertz continues to play, Zach Ertz is going to be Hall of Famer. And the job Doug Peterson did this season, in terms of everything he handled, in front and in back, behind the pulled curtains, was amazing. He did a better job, in my opinion, from what I know. He did a far better job this year to get the Eagles in the playoffs than he did last year and then winning the Super Bowl. Doug Peterson is a hell of a coach who has the respect of his team, and hopefully, I think through, behind closed doors, these guys get this right. Everything that's in that story is fixable. I state that it's fixable. Everyone that I spoke to, everyone, in and around that organization, in and around the NFL, no one dislikes Carson Wentz. Do they think he needs some growing up to do? Yeah. Do you think there's times there where he certainly could take a lot of pages from Nick Foles? I don't want to get into any specifics there because I don't want to give up my guys on the – I'm not leaving my guys on the beach.
Right,
I know who spoke to me, but I can't be specific. But, there are things, there are many, many things that he can learn on and off the field. In reference to Nick Foles, in general, one of those things is just being transparent.
Joe, what's your reaction to his teammates on Twitter, most notably some defensive players, but also players on the offensive line? What's your reaction to them calling this fake news?
Well, that's fine. They can call it whatever they want to call it. I think a lot of those guys know the truth. And let me ask just this. Do you think they go out on Twitter and say, everything in this story is exactly what Joe wrote? Do you think any of them would say that?
No, but I do believe that with some of the responses, it seems like you can have a portion of the locker room where maybe some guys are saying, like, hey, we don't like this, and the offensive line was fine. I didn't feel like the tweets were they were saying because they had to say it.
Yeah, this guy, the other thing that was told to me, Carson Wentz has a lot of power within that franchise. A lot of power within that franchise.
Sure he does.
And we will see where some futures lie and where some things go. But Carson Wentz wields a lot of power. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Joe Santoliquido, read it on the Philly Voice. And, Joe, appreciate it, man.
Hang on. Let me ask you, what did you guys both think of it? What did you both think, Robin John?
My takeaway, Joe, is I think that there can be a lot of little things going on. In other words, I think Carson may have gone off the rails a little bit, but I also think there could be players who aren't happy with their individual production and blame the quarterback. And I think it could be a little bit of both, to be honest with you. I don't think most times things aren't as cut and dry and black and white as we make things out to be. And I think there's a little bit of grain of truth in a lot of things, and that's what I took away from your story.
I would agree with that. And John,
pretty much the same thing, Joe. You know, I don't think you're making stuff up. I'll leave it like that.
That's same thing.
That's well. I'll go as far as saying, and Rob knows everything. I mean, Rob knows a lot. I'm the guy that after it's done, go back again. And out of the number of people that I sent this that I dealt with in reference to this, a number of them were sent a copy of this before anything was posted, before anything was public. But again, I wanted to make sure I's were dotted, T's were crossed. That actually didn't really happen, and the closure didn't happen until this past week, Monday night, Tuesday, and Wednesday afternoon last week.
We got you. Joe, thanks, man. Appreciate you jumping on.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
There he is. Well, there you have it. Stands by his work.
I mean, look, we'll kick this around, I'm sure, the rest of the program, but you always try to go to the source of who wrote this thing, I thought, we hit him with everything he could hit him with.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.